was my first splash. And there was this girl, and to this day, when I see her, something in me just it just electrifies. She has this kind of Southern feminine swag, I don't know what you want to call it, that just gets me going. So she was one of the first women I said, hey, you know, if you're okay with it, I'd like to, you know, play with you. That's how I said it too. Nervous, stuttering. She said, oh yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, let's catch up later. We're business people, me and Siren. One of the biggest things we say to each other all the time is fortune is in the follow-up.
This podcast contains explicit adult content, mature themes, and candid conversations about sex, dominance, power exchange, and ethical non-monogamy. It is intended for audiences 18 and over only. Listener discretion is advised. The views expressed by our guests are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the views or values of the hosts, producers, or affiliated brands. The Bull Brotherhood podcast is for educational, entertainment, and empowerment purposes only. Nothing in this podcast should be interpreted as legal advice, medical guidance, or psychological counseling. We speak from experience, not credentials. Always practice consent, respect the boundaries of others, and follow local laws. If you're not comfortable with frank talk about sex, kink, dominance, or emotional power, this probably isn't the show for you. But if you're ready to step into your masculine edge and embrace a lifestyle that demands mastery, welcome to the Brotherhood.
Welcome to the Bull Brotherhood podcast, where we talk power, pleasure, and the art of dominance in ethical non-monogamy. This is not your average lifestyle podcast. This is for men who lead, men who master, and men who leave a lasting impression. If you're here, you're not just curious. You're ready to elevate. So to all the bulls, hot wives, stags, and open-minded explorers, we see you. Let's go.
Oh yeah, claim the mind, train the body, on the soul, deep connections built on trust. Yes,
good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another informative episode of the Bull Brotherhood podcast. I'm the one and only Sigma Male Brian Morgan, the Lone Wolf, coming at you as one third of the podcast family, along with the beautiful couple of Siren and Socrates. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing good.
Doing real good, Unc.
What's good with you? And welcome back from from what I hear, an exciting tour of Houston, Texas, and this Splash Mocha, another Splash Mocha event. How was it, y'all?
Man, it was, you know, I always say, people ask me, what's your favorite one? I'm always like, the last one I went to. But, yeah. Houston is the favorite location for sure. But, you know, we always learn. We always go in there with some goals, like mental and emotional goals to achieve. We never go in there with numbers or anything like that. We're always in there like, how can we improve ourselves? That kind of thing. And we got a lot. We have a lot.
What is about Houston that like makes it your favorite?
Siren, you want to go first?
I just already just have a special place in my heart for the Houston men. They always take real good care of me inside and outside of Splash. And then I think, too, in Fort Lauderdale, I just, before I went there with three things that I wanted to make sure that I achieved. In the past, I really did focus on numbers. I wanted to get a lot of play going. And then, you know, once you kind of get that craziness out of your system, you can slow down and really think about what you want, like you say, evolve. So I went in there with the mentality of making sure I was where I wanted to be, with who I wanted to be, doing what I wanted to be doing. So that really worked well in Fort Lauderdale, and I damn near nailed it. And then in Houston, I think I had it going, but then I wasn't feeling well. So I didn't get to, you know, execute according to like what I wanted, you know, perfectly. And there was, you know, little hiccups, but overall, I think that Houston is just a great place with great people. There's a lot of local people that are really great, and a lot of local men, especially. The ladies are very supportive that are from the area. A lot of them I'm blessed to call friends. So that's really what makes Houston my favorite.
And that was her first splash. It was our first and second spot.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When we first came, that the first time, then Houston was where we started. So.
Okay.
Back to the birthing of Splash Mocha for me.
It's also where she got her name Siren.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was like the
I was born in Houston.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was also born in Houston.
Oh, really? So that's home.
Just keeps adding up.
Okay. So like the baptism and the rebirth, huh?
Right.
All in one. Good. Sounds like a winner. Who did you meet like new or I mean, just give me like a rundown of pretty much what you did, you know, from like the time you got there and to the time you started playing, et cetera, et cetera. Who'd you meet? Who'd you wish you would have met? Did you make some great connections, et cetera?
Well, we did it a little bit differently this time. We had some business things going on. So Socrates came in on Wednesday. I came in on Tuesday and a gentleman from the area picked me up and, you know, brought me to the hotel and, you know, got me settled in. And then, you know, we did something that was new for us. We haven't done a lot. We've each just done it once since we meeting each other, and we have stayed overnight. So we made a special occasion kind of thing out of it. I wasn't sure how I would feel about that, you know, because I have sleep apnea, I have a CPAP, just different things. It was more about if I would get my rest with someone that wasn't my husband in the room with me versus being nervous about the person. You know, I felt safe and comfortable with him, but just that process. So that went just fine. And then the next day, I started just like not feeling great, like just lower energy. I played around noon. A guy came, you know, on Wednesday from the area, but he was also going to be a part of Splash. And we played. Then I took a nap. And then about that time, it was time to go get my husband. So I, you know, rode to the airport with the gentleman that had picked me up and we got him to the hotel and, you know, got him settled in. And then we just started mingling right away. Finished out the evening with a couple more local guys from the area that, you know, because it's Wednesday night, you know, anybody can come in the hotel. And I had met them previously at a party. So they didn't attend Splash, but they were there before that. And then by Thursday morning, I was really not feeling well. I had some definite, you know, exhaustion and emotions, you know, just worked through just from not feeling good. Worked through those, you know, decided that, you know, it was best for me to just go by what I was talking about. You know, if I am not feeling well, I need to just go to the room and rest. I need to not try to push myself, not try to do a bunch. And Socrates consistently checked on me throughout the weekend. And I just kept saying, go play. I'm going to bed at whatever time I need to go to bed for my body. And I'll see you when I see you. We do a lockdown date every month. And that's coming up tomorrow where we spend 24 hours just with each other. We don't talk to nobody else. We may or may not go anywhere. Usually we just stay at home and just have some connection time. So I knew that was coming up. So I was like, you know, here's the place where we can, you know, be with all these people. And when we get home, we'll have our connection time. So he was great. He kept checking in on me, but I just kept encouraging him, go play and go have a good time. I did have, he organized a gangbang for me and another gal that's from our area that was in attendance. So anyways, that was a good time. He did a really good job with that. Usually he has a hard time not jumping in because he wants to be part of the fun and the beauty that's going around. But he did real good just facilitating the gangbang and letting the other guys have their fun with us and jumped in a little bit at the end, got some good videos and pictures for me to have as memories. So that's nice. And then I just, you know.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Then I just made sure that I had, you know, good, quiet connections. Room parties, I really have to gear up for those. They're not necessarily my jam. I know a lot of people love them. They're great. Socrates, he loves them. He went to a bunch. I didn't go to a single one, and I was perfectly happy with that. I love my one-on-one connections with guys. I love that chance to just slow down, talk. Like, my life is very busy outside of Splash, so I think for me to be able to slow down there and just relax and then really enjoy whatever moment I'm in with whoever I'm in it with is really important to me and really meets my needs for Splash. Whereas Socrates, is a people person. He's an extrovert. Being around people just charges his battery. So, you know, we just really both navigated Splash in the way that was best for us. And we learned, you know, how to navigate it a little bit better next time, you know, as a couple or, you know, run around separately. So we always learn something. We always talk before and after about what worked, what didn't work. And we just keep improving on it. So if I hadn't been feeling poorly throughout and just saving every little bit of energy for any playtime I could get, then I would have said it was damn near perfect. So
sounds like you had a good time, regardless of the situation.
And it was good. Very sweet. Right away on Wednesday, a lady ran up to me and she was like, Siren, I'm so sorry. I'm fangirling. And I was like, oh, you're fine. She's like, me and my husband, we listen to your podcast all the time in the car when we're driving together. And she was just really excited. And so I was like, oh, I met my first big fan. It was very sweet. She's a really nice lady. So it's just, you know, people are getting a lot of benefit from the podcast that we do. And that's really what we want, is to help our community and to, you know, give them more knowledge, more encouragement, and more resources. So if that's being accomplished, that's all I can ask for. You know, if you know my name or not, that's, you know, irrelevant. But if you're getting what you need out of the podcast that we share, then that's a win for me. So, Socrates, what about you?
Well, it was a lot, like I say. But I do want to say, first off, thank you to all the listeners that did come up to me and share their thoughts and, you know, how much they're enjoying the podcast. And I want to also encourage you guys, you know, email us. We're on Telegram. The Bull Brotherhood is on Telegram. I'll put that link on there, you know, but I really, really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed hearing, you know, all of it was positive, but I'm open to any kind of criticism you might have that we can get better, or at least clarify, nah, that's how we're going to talk, because we're going to be bold. We're going to say what we believe in. We're going to stand on business. But that was awesome. As far as me, I was out of sorts in the beginning because she was not feeling well. Because here's the thing, you guys. Like, there was one time, the second splash, I messed my Achilles trying to play basketball. And I had to go in a boot. And I was towards the end of it. Like, I wasn't really in a bad shape. But there was a time where we were thinking about, I don't know if I can make it. She's like, look, fool, if I have to wheel you around in a wheelchair, we going. And I'm like, okay, you know. So this is the highlight of her year. We do it 3 times a year. It's the highlight of our lifestyle, you know. And I'm ready to kind of expand, but, you know, it's something that she truly loves. She doesn't get that kind of treat on a lot of other places. And I just really loved how well she handled it. I didn't believe her. She kept saying, I'm fine, Daddy. There's nothing really you can do. Go have fun. And
so you got a chance. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So you got a chance to actually get out there and maneuver. Of course, she knows, you know, she knows that she's giving you the green light to go out there and just do your thing. So how did you approach that situation? I mean, you know, did you go out there and just be my typical nephew and get buck wild, or did you take some of what Unc has been telling you and you know, go out there and play with it a little bit?
Well, Siren would disagree with it in the way it's explained. So I would say it's kind of both. I took your advice in the sense that I have ADHD and it's not an excuse. I'm working on it, but I really do. And so I am a kind of a squirrel person, and I took your advice, Mr. Mocha. I mean, all the entire squad, Pagan. It doesn't matter who you mention. And I slowed down a little bit, and I tried to sit in places and just chill and watch. And what has started happening is people start coming to me, and then I would start getting the buzz, and then I would get back into my ADHD a little bit, and then I would stop myself, calm back down, and chill. And another thing that I did was huge this time. I didn't do much at all in the playrooms besides the glory home room. That's my spot. I'm always going to go there. But like the big playrooms and some of the other wife watching rooms and all those things, I'm usually in there. And I didn't. I decided this time I wanted to really start chilling, hanging with the boys, you know, talking to the squad, seeing, you know, how they doing, catching up with them. and really getting to know couples, sitting down talking to them for a long time. I speak Spanish, and I don't have an opportunity to practice my Spanish where I live. So I met a couple where the husband didn't speak English and the wife was bilingual. So I was able to kind of practice my Spanish, you know, and chill with them and converse and really get to know them. And then I spent a lot more time in the room parties. And it was much more of a vibe. It was much more of my vibe. And so, yeah, I listened to what you said. I sit back a lot more than I normally do. Now, I think this next one is going to be, people aren't even going to recognize me because I see the vision now. I see what, especially you and Mr. Mocha have been saying. You guys were surely missed, by the way. You guys were really missed there.
Everyone asked
about mm-hmm. you guys. But the specific advice you guys gave me to sit back, chill, be observant, pay attention, right? And take a breather, watch what's going on. That worked tremendously. But I will say this, Siren, we used to get into it because the way she wanted to manage the women I played with, especially if it's local, was very, very hands-on. And I would say, look, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not insecure or jealous. They need to know our bond. They need to know how much we love each other, you know. But you're doing too much. The only thing I need you to do is let them know one thing, and it should be 100% truth. We are solid. Like me and Socrates over there, that's sealed. There's nothing you can do to take that man away from me. The only person who's going to lose Socrates is Siren. That's it. So she did that, and she did it in her own way, and I'll let her talk about it if she wants to talk about how. But that, I think, made the difference. I didn't have to go out there chasing anything, pursuing anything, follow up. You know, we're business people, so I had a story to tell. And it was my first splash. And there was this girl, and to this day, when I see her, something in me just, it just electrifies. She has this kind of Southern feminine swag, I don't know what you want to call it, that just gets me going. So she was one of the first women I said, hey, you know, if you're okay with it, I'd like to, you know, play with you. That's how I said it too. Nervous, stuttering. She said, oh yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, let's catch up later. We're business people, me and Siren. One of the biggest things we say to each other all the time is fortune is in the follow up.
Yep.
Well, that don't work as Splash Mocha, gentlemen. Not the way I did it. Because I followed up. Yeah. And you know, every time she said, Yeah, let's catch up later. I followed up two more times. The third time when she was like, yeah, catch up. Let's catch up later. You know when she said it? Sunday as we're leaving with our luggage.
I said,
I'm never, ever doing that again. Now, funny thing is, I ended up in a room party and the first thing she did was trip her clothes off and jumped on my dick. But that's not the point.
Oh, on this one?
No, the next one.
Oh.
The one right after that, because I remember I was upset about it and everything. I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again.
Oh, okay.
So I said all that to say I didn't have to, because I was like, I am not doing that. I'm here. I know the value I bring. I'm one who masters my craft. I take pride in it. And I'm a lover of women. I am in love with my wife, but she knows I appreciate women's body, their femininity, their magic, their power, their ability to create life. She knows that. So that's valuable. That's something of value. And I don't want to spend my energy chasing anybody but my wife. Now, I will pursue you, but I chase my wife all around here mentally, emotionally. Well, not physically, because I can't keep up with her sexually, but I just can't keep up with that. But I chase my wife. I ain't chasing a woman.
I think
he's
scaring the guys away.
It.
Scaring them away. It's not like that, guys.
It's like that, guys.
You'll be fine.
You won't be fine.
You'll be fine. I want to speak to the comfort part. So I think what really helped when he's referring to is not only what I did in the ladies chat, but also what we did in the vent chat. And I think more people that are coupled up would do well to present this in the event mingle. So I really want to push this. And it's the idea that especially if you're in an interracial relationship and you're going to splash, that just creates a level of a little bit of a barrier. You know, people don't quite know how to approach you because it's very different. A lot, you know, is like, you know, white couples are going there to seek a single black man, you know? So when an interracial couple goes, it's a little bit different. So what we did is in the chat, I put a picture of Socrates. This is just in the event mingles. And I said, hey, we're Siren and Socrates. We play separately. Stamp of approval. Ladies go, you know, you don't have to ask my permission. If you see me, say hi. I'd love to meet you. And then in the ladies chat, I did that like a little closer to the event. Then he did the same thing. He posts some pictures of me, you know, a couple of us as a couple, says, hey, fellas, this is my wife. You know, be respectful till it's time to be disrespectful and, you know, go for it. So I think that really helped. Then I saw a few other couples follow suit. But it really, you know, the feedback I heard was it really helped the couples that did do that so that people knew, like, hey, this is how we can approach them. So there was one couple that was going to be, you know, a cuckold couple, and they were going to be there with her boyfriend. And so she's like, hey, we play separately. We don't have to ask permission, you know, the her and her boyfriend. So she's like, feel free to approach. So a few people did that. And I really would like that to catch on because I think it just helped people to be prepared so they didn't have to, you know, wander so much. Like, so if you're all a little on the shy, of course you can just go up and ask, hey, what's your dynamic? You know, how is this? But it takes away a little bit of that nervousness when you just know up front. And a lot of the ladies said, excuse me, that really, they really appreciated that. And that gave them the confidence and they really admired that to be able for me to just say, hey, this is what's going on, you know, go for it. You don't have to find, and especially because they couldn't find me, I was in the room, you know, that enabled him to, you know, get a lot of playtime because, you know, if they would have been trying to find me, I guess they could have just came to the room, leave a note, sign up for Socrates.
No, it's not like that.
I don't know, but you know, they didn't need to ask permission. So, and in the past I had been kind of like, hey, I would at least like to be acknowledged first. And now I'm just like, you know, if you see me, say hi. So.
Was that a big thing for you that you were able to feel comfortable enough to be just like, baby, go do your thing, you know, no one has to like come to me and I kind of vet them or anything like that. Just do your thing. I'm good with it.
Yeah,
you love me.
That's definitely been an evolution for me over the last 3 years because, you know, it, like, we didn't even play separately at all until we went to our first splash about 8 months into the lifestyle. And then it was probably at least another 6 months before we played separately back at home. And now that's pretty much our go-to most of the time, unless we're having parties.
It was more like a year. It was more like
another year.
Because I was three or at least three splashes where you were like, you know, I feel comfortable at splash because it's this and it's that, but not out there.
Yeah, not at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was just, yeah, there was just multiple levels of, you know, my own insecurities that I had to work through myself. It had nothing to do with our relationship, but it just had to do with me overcoming those. And that's where it's like, you know, Socrates has referred to it before, is that the lifestyle has been my dojo. You know, he's like, do you want to get out? Do you want to take a break? He offers that anytime that I come upon a mountain that I need to conquer. And I just say, what do I mostly say to you when you offer that?
No, I need to learn. Yeah. I need to figure this out anyway.
Yeah.
So I might as well do it now.
Yeah. And if it's not coming up in the lifestyle, if we took the lifestyle away, it's just going to come out somewhere else. You know, if I have an area of opportunity, an area that I need to grow in, it's going to come out regardless of what I'm involved in my life. It's going to come out in my work. It's going to come out in my friendship somewhere. So I might as well deal with it head on together as a team than to just try to eliminate things. You know, you can't wrap me in bubble wrap forever, you know. So, yeah, it was your question, you know, it was a big jump for me to do that. But I really felt from Fort Lauderdale to Houston, like bridging that gap that, you know, and also with me just making sure that I was getting my own needs met and making sure instead of worrying about what he's doing, like, why am I not making sure that I'm having fun and doing what I want to be doing? So when I focused, it sounds selfish, but when I actually focused on myself a little bit more on like what I wanted, then I didn't have time or space to be jealous or insecure or worried about anything else, you know? So yeah. It's just been a good growth. So and it went great.
So
had lots of ladies come, you know, send me messages and say how well he took care of them, and you know, I thank them for giving him a fun time, and yeah, it was great.
Good deal. Socrates, how long did it take you once you ventured out to feel like totally comfortable doing, you know, being able to go out and, hey, just, you know, handle business, knowing that mom was good, you know, she gave you the green light?
Oh, no, I never felt comfortable. That didn't happen until maybe 2 days after we got back. I benefited from the fact a little bit, maybe having the podcast. I've been there. This is my 8th time. I've got friends in the lifestyle. You know, I'm a halfway decent looking guy. You know, I think what happened is some things are compounding. A lot of things I learned from you guys, my own personal journey. You know, so the fact that she put that message out, that allowed a lot to come to me, but I was out of sorts the whole time because that's my wife. At the end of the day, I enjoy these women. Some of these people are my friends. Some of these people work with us, you know. You know, we've stayed at their homes. Like, this is more than just a little vacation. But if my wife's not okay, I'm not okay. And like she said, I kept checking on her. It's more of like, I'll stay in. You want to stay in? I have other things planned. She took it like I was throwing it in her face. But I was like, I have things planned. I need to cancel. Give me a second. But I'll stay. She's like, no, there's nothing you can do, you know. You're just going to sit here on your phone while I'm sleeping, you know?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Why right. Why would both of us? Well, in the same way as when you had that Fort Lauderdale experience where, you know, we had a little medication mix up and it was making things not go so well for Socrates in a number of areas. And, you know,
she can just say it. My dick wouldn't work.
Yeah. You need to take Cialis, not Tramadol. Yeah. Pro tip. And then you were also having digestive issues, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and you didn't hold me back. You know, I came into the room early a couple of different times, spent time with you, put you to bed, then go back out. You know, I made sure and take care of you as much as you wanted to be taken care of. But you didn't say, oh, just stay in the room with me the whole time. I mean, then there's no reason that we should both miss out. You know, what are you going to do while I'm sleeping? So it was good for me to just get some rest. And we had just gone on another trip right before. So it all kind of just added right up for me.
What really helped, too, is, you know, my boys, man. Michael C. was just, you know how he do. He was doing his thing. And I was able to hang out with Pagan. And I was able to hang out. I was meet some other cats. I don't know if they want me mentioning their names. But I can mention Raven because he's going to be on the podcast. You know, you're going to get to meet him. He's super cool. So, you know, that those are the things that kind of got me through, worried about her being, and I was able to enjoy myself. And honestly, I think probably about 80% of the people I played with were people I already play with, like people I'm comfortable with, people I know. They know I'm worried. I can just tell them, hey, we can play, but I'm kind of worried about my wife. Like,
are you okay there, Unc?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
So, you know, those people. And then after a while, I played with some new people I haven't met, some people I've had my eye on, and some things like that. That then I was more comfortable because I knew that my friends were checking on her. I had other people checking on her. She has plenty of friends because, again, we know a lot of people here. They're in Houston. We have a great, great friend group there, Houston and Dallas, actually. A lot of people from Dallas that we now know and we're good friends with. So that kind of got me through, but out of sorts seeing my wife because she is the most jovial and energetic at Splash than anything. So yeah
it was weird too,
and that's a great,
because I just kept getting up and leaving situations, and then he would like, I'd be like, I'm going to the room, and he would come after me. He's like, are you mad at me? Is everything okay? And I was like, I just don't feel good. And it was actually starting to irritate me that he wouldn't believe me because I was like, babe, you're not doing anything wrong.
Well, and usually you don't get sick until the end. Like, we'll get swingers flu. We've done it. We've been there 8 times. We've had it like 6 out of 8 or 5 out of 8 times.
Right. But so, remember,
usually you're cool through it.
Right.
You know?
But we had gone on a trip for 5 days with our family. Then I was only home for 1 day and then I left again. And so I was just worn out. So, yeah, but you know what? I didn't get full blown sick because I did take that time. But yeah, I was almost getting pissed at him for not believing me that, like, I just don't feel good. I love you. I just don't feel good. Any energy that I have, I'm saving to like get a few play dates in while I'm here. We can connect when we get home. Like, but he was always, you know, making sure.
Well, I was out of sorts. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I absolutely love that, Socrates. That lets the listeners and the followers know that, especially the Bulls that have, you know, may have wives or girlfriends or significant others or whatever, that mama comes first. I don't give a damn where we are. She comes first. If she doesn't feel well, I don't feel well, you know? So that's what makes the, that's what makes what you guys have extra special. It really does. So I commend you. I commend you for staying by her side, making sure that she was absolutely 100% okay, you know, before you went out and did what you did. So hats off to you, brother.
Yeah, I tell her, look, I say, I don't care if I'm doing the nastiest, dirtiest, craziest thing away from you. You know what makes it amazing is I have this amazing woman at home. Because people don't understand about me. I had a hard time translating vanilla life to lifestyle, believe it or not, being the philosopher that I am. I had a lot of problems because, trust me, I have been a backup dancer for a rap group. I have been every kind of thing in a nightclub. I've owned my own club, salsa dancer, salsa. Listen, I can go to a bar, salsa club, grocery store, and pick up a woman anytime. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, that's my past. I have a gigolo, pickup artist, manosphere past. You know, I was reading books about picking up women when I was 19 years old. So this is nothing new to me. The thing what new to me is the new world of lifestyle and understanding that, like, my wife is what makes this sexy and fun and crazy, because about 80% of it I did already before I even knew what lifestyle was on my single years in between relationships or before. You know, it's like when you're part of a rap group back in the 90s, you know, I wasn't but like 17 and I was a backup dancer. They didn't go anywhere, but you're in Vegas performing and there's 30-year-old damn near model looking women jumping on you. Like, that's that makes an impression on you. So it's not like I'm not used to that. I'm not used to it with a beautiful woman that loves me and that has had my back when I was broke, when I met her. I pay 90% of the bills now, but when I met her, she was making way more money than I was. And all I have is my own place and my own stuff. But, and just got out of a divorce and just all this stuff, and she's built me here. Nah, none of this is worth her being upset or not feeling well or us not working out. None of that is worth that. So I can get that before I've had it. This is not new to me. It took me a while to translate the little things from vanilla life to swinger. It took me longer than it should have. But people think, oh, he's so insecure. And I am insecure. I was, because I was like trying to figure out how to translate it. Now I'm like, put me in a salsa club. Put me in a salsa club and you guys will start writing, taking notes, right? Put me in a hip hop club as the MC. Then you'll see. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yeah. As far as couples that were there, did you guys meet some interesting, like, couples, talk to anybody interesting, play with anyone interesting, or somebody that's a couple that just like just stood out?
The couple.
And you don't have to say that.
The husband.
Yeah, of course.
They were sweet. Yeah. Well, I said, babe, there's Joe Biden. So we just went over. That was a good icebreaker. You know, I said, hello, President Biden. They were, you know, an older couple, but they had been there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they said, it was kind of made me a little sad because they said, this is the most friendliest interaction that we had had. And that was Saturday night. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that sucks. But also I challenged some of the new couples. It's like, you also can't just sit in the corner and expect people to just come up to you. Like, to get biblical on some people, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. And so, you know, sitting in the corner with your arms crossed, you know, with your face all mean. I know Socrates made it a special challenge to go up and talk to some men that were mean mugging everybody, so he can talk about that. But I don't know. I you know, as much as I could with my mental brain power being, you know, on 10%, I just really tried to just go around and just talk to whoever, you know, give hugs, give smiles. I can't really remember any super meaningful you know, conversations with new people just floating around. Because I, again, during the kind of the mingle time, my brain was really not on all out. So if anyone's listening, please forgive me if I, you know, I did say in the ladies chat, if my face was saying something, I said I was just not feeling good. And sometimes I get overstimulated and I'm just better one-on-one. There's a lady that's been trying to get to know me. I said, next splash, let's just go have coffee one of the mornings, just you and me, away from everybody, because it's just, you know, not flowing as well as I want to. And I said, I just think I need one-on-one time with you. So sometimes that for me in a crowded area, I'm not so good. Even though I do love people, it's better for me. Like, I have a whole bunch of friends and we're all, you know, just independent, strong women, but we don't necessarily get together in a group. We just get together a lot on one-on-one and we have great times together. So sometimes for me, that's just what I need versus managing being a part of a crowd. So you want to talk about
one-on-one time?
You want to talk about the mean mugging men? Mean mugging men, the M&M's.
Yeah, I can. I know. But didn't you were about to say something?
No, I was agreeing with Siren. I was like, when I attend an event, I much would rather have the one-on-one time myself and the couple, you know, when we just get a chance to sit down somewhere and talk, whether it be breakfast in the morning or just, you know, going up to the room and just sit down and just have a nice conversation away from the group. You know, I don't care about being around the whole crowd scene, as you know, mm-hmm. nephew, you know damn well I am when I get there. So I'm with you on that one, Sarah. I get a lot out of talking to someone one-on-one. I can feel you then when I'm talking to you. You know, when I can look at you and when I can get close to you and really get to know you, you know, I can tell then, okay, yeah, they're newcomers, but they really, there's something in them that wants and needs to be brought out. So that's how I am too. But yeah, tell me about the mean mugging.
Mean mugging men.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. you wanted me to speak on the couples thing. So I just want to say, before I talk about mean mugging, I had interactions with several couples that I just want to say thank you. They were both, what I noticed is how locked in they were, how encouraging each one's were, how the husbands were there, and they were the smiles on their faces. Because there's three couples I did some very unique things with in the play parties, in the playroom, mm-hmm. in the room parties. And the way the husbands reacted just really warmed my heart. As a stag, I love that. So, but the mean mugging guy, so let me get back to the beginning. So I never said it like this before, and it kind of made sense to me where I'm from. When I first went to Splash and Siren was like, look, we were going to all kind of white gangbangs, because where we live, if you're going to go to a gangbang, it's going to be all vanilla, all white people. And it's great. That's no problem.
Vanilla, yeah.
But not vanilla, you know, white folks, which is great. And I've made some good friends.
Maybe a couple Latina guys.
Right. Some of them are going to be coming to some of our parties. They're great people. Nothing wrong with that. But she's like, look, and I just said to her one day, I said, look, you just need to admit that you are, you know.
Queen of Spades.
So long story short, she said she admitted it. We went out to a bunch of clubs everywhere. And she's just like, I need to find a place specifically with black men. So I found Splash and I was thinking, okay, this is for her. Right. I've done some stuff. I've done all kind of crazy stuff. This is for her. And so I found it and I was preparing myself. And my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to go in there with a bunch of Crips and Bloods. Like, I don't know why I just thought it was going to be some really, and I didn't even put down Crips and Bloods. Just really disrespectful, uneducated, unsophisticated, you know, don't know how to approach men. And I was sorely wrong. Mm-hmm. But when I went in there, mean mugging. I had my arms folded and I was, you know, looking around, ready to fight. And I was I was blown away at the men's meeting. And then I was later blown away how the men treated Siren and how well they all treated each other and how they lifted each other up. So I said all that to say, I was talking to a fan that came up to us and he was telling us how much he liked the podcast and everything. And something about mean mugging came up. Oh, I was talking about Uncle Work. because he was there. I was talking about Uncle Work. And if you listen to the podcast, you guys, I've talked about Uncle Work before, but I'll talk about it again. But I was talking about Uncle Work. He was like, yeah, man, that's what you did the first splash. And I say, what? Wait, what? Say, what? What do you mean? He said, man, when you got in there, dude, you looked like you was ready to fight the first person that came up to you. And I said, The way I describe how I felt, I can't deny that. I never felt that. And Siren never said that. But I said, I probably was.
I didn't even notice what you were looking like.
Yeah, because your jaw was dropped looking at all the other beautiful black men in there.
Nervous-sided.
Yeah, so that's all you kept saying is all these beautiful black men. So
never seen so many.
So what I decided to do right after he said that was there's about three of them. There was one dude, man, I swear, he was sitting down. His wife is beautiful. And I kid you not, he's buff. He's real buff. He is a bodybuilder. You can just tell. Mm-hmm. You know, he ain't got no neck. Like, he's big. And he, a mean mug, the worst I've ever seen in Splash. Like, I mean, this guy was, and I said, I'm going up to him. So I went up to him, sat on the table, and I started talking to both of them. Unk, I talked to this dude for 5 minutes and asked him direct questions, and he answered with shoulder shrugs and looks and eye movements, and his wife would have to answer for him. And I just kept talking to him, like, and then I just said, hey, you're my challenge. I just said straight up, because he wouldn't crack. And that's when he said, what do you mean? And I said, my boy over here told me when I first started coming, I used to mean mug people. And I told him, yeah, because I really felt like I was running to, because I had bad experiences in the past. So, and you know, this and this and that. And I said, you know what, man, you over here mean mugging. And his wife said, yes, thank you.
She's like, I'm trying to get some dick and he's scaring everyone away.
Yeah, his wife said, yes. And he just looked down like, I know. And then I was like, hey, man, like, well, I came up to you because I don't care.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, though. Think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. You're a bodybuilder. So I'm assuming the physique looked like that of the pros that I see all the time when I go to shows. Okay. Probably a big dude, muscles everywhere, vascular, veiny, et cetera, cut up. And you are sitting at an event where you are going to watch your wife get beat down by these black guys, and you're probably feeling some kind of way. You know what I mean? Big time. So I can kind of see maybe a couple going to one or two events and the husband be, you know, he's mean mugging, but underneath he's scared as fuck. He's scared as hell because he's really feeling some kind of way. Like, you know, am I enough for her? You know what I mean? She's gonna get some good dick. She's gonna open up. I'm probably gonna see her in another light, and it's fucking with me. So that's where the mean mugging comes from. You know, so for you to go up to him like that and be able to, I'm not gonna say break him, but you were able to make him feel comfortable, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. You were able to make him feel comfortable.
I got him to talk.
That's good.
I got him talking. He was here. Yeah. He eventually still didn't talk a lot, but he was like, hey, why are we here but not to do that? You know, he's like, that's why I'm here.
Hey, man, bodybuilding guys, unless they're talking to personal trainers or other cats that lift, they really are. They live in their own world, all right? I mean, you know, I'm not a bodybuilder or anything like that, but I'm an avid weightlifter who lifts like a bodybuilder. So I know how they live. I know they live very, 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 very extrovert.
Yeah.
So, you know, for you to get them to do that, good job. Yeah. Good job, brother. Both of y'all sound like you had a very, let me see, how do I say it? A very uplifting experience this time at this event.
Yeah.
Very, very uplifting.
I just kept checking in with myself too, because, you know, I will not lie and say, you know, every time that he's playing that I've been like 100% overjoyed. You know, because I get FOMO or jealous or whatever. But this time I really just kept checking in myself and being like, okay, I don't feel well. Am I truly like wanting him to go? Like, how am I feeling about it? And I just felt good that he could go. And then the experiences that I did have were so meaningful. I played with one guy that several ladies were turning up their nose to because he was a little bit, he was a colorful individual. He was a little bit maybe flamboyant. And so some of the women, you know, they're like, that's not my cup of tea. And I thought, why not? Let me just see what this guy's all about. And it ended up being one of the best play experiences. We laid on the bed fully clothed for 45 minutes and just talked. And I could tell he was kind of nervous to start. And then I could tell we both had creative minds, and just the way we were speaking just started flowing together. And it was just very mm-hmm. uplifting and encouraging and positive conversation. And then when we got to the actual play, you know, he was talking a lot about he likes to please. And sometimes when guys say that, I go, okay, yeah, we'll see in my mind, you know, because I'm like, sometimes they're just talking, you know. But he truly, the way he spoke really was the way he played. And it just flowed so well, and it was a great time. And I just went back to a couple of those ladies, and I said, that may not be everybody's cup of tea, but damn, it was a good cup of tea for me. So I, mm-hmm. you know, I really enjoyed that. And I love finding those gold nuggets, you know, those guys that are just like, you know, a diamond in the rough, you know. Maybe other people don't see it, but when you get them in that place where you can discover what they're really about one-on-one, then you just really meet some cool people that have some cool things to offer.
Well, those are your friends, Mommy, because trust me, he got it in. Well, it was not just, all the women got that.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm just being funny.
Yeah. No, I did, because he was bold. He was bold in his, he would just be like, you're hot and I would like some time with you. And he said it in such like, not a cocky way, like I'm going to get you, you know, but just like in a very complimentary and just like
very complimentary way.
Yeah. In a fun way. Like it was a very different vibe. Like some of the guys are just super confident. Some kind of come off a little cocky. And then he just said it in such a fun, like, hey, I'm here to have a good time. You know, he showed up late for our gangbang. He was invited to that. And, you know, he was otherwise occupied. And by the time he got there, we were all done. So he said, well, you guys are hot and beautiful, and I hope that I get some time with you later. And then he just walked away, and then he followed up a couple more times and finally worked out. So, you know, I just encourage the ladies, you know, sometimes when someone's just a little bit different than what you're used to, just, you know, give them a try. Give them a try. It's like trying a new food. You know, you just might like it. You might find something there that you weren't expecting. So
that's some good. That's good. Some good knowledge and wisdom there for the ladies listening. Very good. Anything else that needs to be brought out from this after action report, ladies and gentlemen?
Actually, I think we just need to do a part two, because we haven't even scratched the surface. There really? Are so many other things that we discovered together that happened that, you know, we learned that we want to share. So I think that what we should probably do, because we could probably go another hour and a half. So we probably just end it there if you want, and then do a part two.
Yeah. Or maybe we can wrap it into the podcast that we're going to do with Raven.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's.
Yeah, we could do that.
If that's what you're alluding a little. There's more.
That'll work.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
But either way.
We can do that one. Yeah. We can, you know, there's lots of time that we can create more. So
That'll work. Well, then, if there's nothing more to be said, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it from Siren and Socrates. Sounds like Splash Mocha Houston was an absolute blast, and also a very, very uplifting event for them as a couple. I'm so proud of them. Again, ladies and gentlemen, well, thank you for joining us tonight. I am the Sigma Male himself, the Lone Wolf, Brian Morgan, along with the family, Siren and Socrates. Until we talk again, to all the bulls out there, to my brothers, I bid you good night. And to all my sexy hot wives, you know the deal. Good morning. Until we meet again, y'all. Good night.